Hey, it's Dr. Guru with another psychological podcast. Today's podcast is on a quality we call shyness. Now, everybody falls on the continuum of this shyness variable. Some people are uninhibited and quite gregarious and comfortable in novel situations, and others are painfully shy and unable to handle new novel situations because they perceive them as threatening and scary. And then there's the people in the middle who have a combination of these variables. So shyness is on a continuum. And if you're comfortable or, you know, you're at the, you know, uninhibited side, you have no complaints. But if you're on the real shy side, life can be somewhat difficult and stressful. Now, over the years, we've tried to eliminate this behavior, this non-functional behavior in individuals, but it always hasn't been easy. And in fact, it's been a rather enduring quality. And I think we have some data to suggest why that's the case. So I'm going to present a study today that gives us evidence why shyness may be a pervasive problem that is probably a wired in our brain kind of issue. So this is a longitudinal study that was done in Massachusetts General Hospital in combination with the psychiatry department of Harvard Medical School, specifically Dr. Schwartz, who studied children from the age of 2 to actually 21. Now, let me give you the study. When the children were 2, they brought them into a room and brought in this kind of robotic kind of toy. And the inhibited kids would kind of run, freeze, or, you know, go to their mother. The typical uninhibited child would go up to the robot and, you know, play with it. Now, these kids were then tested when they were 13, and they found out that the inhibited people, the inhibited children, were 3 times more likely to be children who had social anxiety disorders. Again, the quality persists. Again, they were tested in their early 20s. This time they used the ever-popular functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, to study their brain activity. And what they did is they showed these people a set of human faces, some familiar and some unfamiliar. The inhibited individuals had more activity in the almond-shaped part of the brain called the amygdala, which is an old part of the brain that regulates emotion and instincts. And the uninhibited people didn't have this activity. And so it points to the fact that maybe shyness is a pervasive, biologically based outcome of a higher sensitivity in the amygdala. Of course, we're not going to do too much about that because we can't change the amygdala. But if we understand it as a biological rather than environmental problem, it may take out some of the steam and some of the negativity. Now, having said that, kids who have significant distress and anxiety should still be seeking mental health help, because intense shyness is really going to be a problem in their lives. And if it appears to come in late childhood, early adolescence, it is something that has to be addressed, and the parents should try to help the child both understand their problem and develop better behaviors to compensate for them. So, shyness may be internal and kind of consistent, but we need to still work on improving the coping skills of the people who have shyness. I hope this helped. It's Dr. Gurr, and I'll catch you next time.